May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord. Amen. I don't know about you, but I really like Palm Sundays. Isn't it wonderful that we came into church today waving our palm crosses and singing our hearts out, just like many generations of Christians have done before us? It really feels like a big celebration with the entire church family. And this is really wonderful. Yet if we try to explain to a stranger what exactly we are so cheerful about, it would be pretty hard to do, isn't it? Well, it would be hard to do without sounding awful. Because after all, we are celebrating the fact that the hero of Christianity was given a hearty welcome before he faced a terribly cruel death. Doesn't that sound awful to you? And then on top of that, we have come up with a really creative name to refer to Jesus' final week. We call it the Passion of Christ. What a misleading name, the Passion of Christ. I mean, what are we trying to say here? That Christ was passionate about dying? Really? Well, before we get more confused, let's make an attempt to get things straight here. In today's world, passion is often perceived as something positive. I know people who are passionate about a number of things, like singing or animal welfare. People who are passionate about something usually seem to be dedicated to a cause. The original meaning of the word passion is suffering or enduring. So when we look at the Passion of Christ, we could perhaps rephrase it a little bit as Christ's determination to suffer and endure a terrible chain of events in order to achieve a greater cause. And of course, there is no doubt, this determination was only possible because Jesus is the Son of God. Yet I think it's quite deceiving to look at Jesus and only to highlight that he is fully God while ignoring that he is fully human too. It's deceiving because we might think that it was easy for Jesus to walk into Jerusalem and to face this terrible, cruel death just because he is God. But if it really was easy for Jesus to face death just because he is God, would there be any point then in calling Jesus' final week the Passion of Christ? Where would the suffering endurance be? And can human beings really make God suffer? Can they inflict physical pain or fear to God? Or can they only do that to other human beings? Well, I think that the Passion of Christ is called the Passion, the suffering endurance, not because Jesus is fully God, but because Jesus is fully human. And when we think about Jesus on Palm Sunday, we should try to imagine as vividly as possible the full burden and weight of facing the cross as a human being while still having but not using the power to change the events which lead to death. That's the real meaning behind the Passion of Christ. And when we have understood the real meaning of the Passion of Christ, the Bible passages we just heard become even more dramatic. Let us quickly rewind the story of Palm Sunday and look at it with a fresh pair of eyes. We see Jesus entering into Jerusalem at the beginning of Passover time, the greatest of the national festivals. It was the time for the Jews to remember their slavery in Egypt. and how God had killed every firstborn in Egypt in order to free them from captivity. The Israelites' firstborn, on the other hand, were only saved because they had followed orders to kill a lamb and put its blood on the doorpost. The blood of the lamb was the sign for death to pass over that house. And now, many years later, exactly during the time as they recall these events, we see Jesus entering into the city. A new lamb in the form of Jesus is ready to be sacrificed. But this time around, entire mankind is going to be saved. The crowds are joyfully receiving him, but they really miss the true reason for Jesus' presence with them, because they are looking for a Messiah who will rescue them politically and free them nationally. That's why they are so cheerful. Yet Jesus came to rescue them spiritually, because he knew that mankind's primary need is spiritual salvation. This blindness of people and their fickleness of cheering him on in one minute and of wanting him to be crucified the next minute makes Jesus cry over the city. "O Jerusalem," he says, "if you only had known on this day what would bring you peace. But now it is hidden from your eyes." So to sum up, what we should really remember about Palm Sunday is this. First of all, that entering Jerusalem, fully aware of what would happen and refusing to use his power, was an extremely difficult task for Jesus. And secondly, as for the crowds cheering him on, that it's a tragedy to see the Savior but not to recognize him for who he is. Yet however sad all this sounds, we still can be cheerful, because Palm Sunday is not the end of the story, and even Easter, the resurrection of Christ, is not the end of the story. The story really only ends with Jesus' second coming. And in the book of Revelation, in chapter 7, verses 9 and 10, we are given a glimpse of a new kind of Palm Sunday. We read that a multitude from every nation, tribe, people, and language is standing before the throne of God and before the Lamb Jesus, waving palm branches. But this time around, everyone present has understood the meaning of the cross. The palm-bearing saints sing out loud, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." And who can sum up the measure of their joy? Let us only pray then that at the end of the story, we will also be standing amongst them to joyfully receive our Savior. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Amen.